it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're back with Total Information AM. I'm Megan Lynch. Will Missouri voters ever be able to pass a constitutional amendment again? Some experts say legislation that's moving through Jefferson City right now would make that nearly impossible. Let's talk about that and some other national issues in the courts right now with KMOX legal analyst Brad Young, partner at Harris Dow Fisher & Young. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Megan.
So we are in a veto session. The Missouri House has given approval to a measure that would change the rules for citizen-led initiative petitions. Under this proposal, constitutional amendments put on the ballot by citizens would need a simple majority statewide and a majority in all eight congressional districts to pass. So it sounds simple, but what's the concern?
Well, in order to understand the concern, Megan, you have to understand what the law is right now. And right now, as we've seen with ballot initiatives such as abortion in Missouri and legalizing marijuana in Missouri, all that was required was two things. Number one, there had to be ballot signatures to get it on the ballot of 8% of voters in 6 out of 8 districts in Missouri. And then once it gets on the ballot, it just required a simple majority statewide. But the changes would make that much more difficult to get those initiatives passed, because under the proposed language that's already passed the Missouri House, because of some procedural rules, it has to pass the House again before going to the Senate. But under the proposed changes, it would require that it would pass a majority of votes in each of Missouri's 8 districts. So in other words, it wouldn't just be that votes in St. Louis and Kansas City could cover the entire state, but it would have to get a majority in every single district of Missouri's 8 districts, including, you know, Cape Girardeau and Springfield and Kirksville. It'd have to have a majority everywhere, and that would be a much higher bar than what we've seen in recent ballot initiatives.
Why are lawmaker-led initiative petitions not being considered under the same standard?
Well, because lawmaker-passed initiatives are covered under a different statute, so they're not considered to be a citizen-initiated ballot initiative. So there's two different standards, and those two different standards would certainly be even more different under these proposed changes.
Let's move to an action by the U.S. Supreme Court. The High Court has upheld the Trump administration policy for now that allows agents to target people for deportation based on race or language. Brad, a lot of people are asking, how is this not profiling?
And that's a very big concern here, Megan. But again, let me set up the historical background of this. If you go back, there's a lot of Supreme Court cases, basically under the Fourth Amendment, which protects people against unreasonable search and seizures. But going as far back as 1973, the Supreme Court has held that Border Patrol agents, they can consider a person's appearance as one factor among other factors in terms of stopping someone and asking whether they are a citizen or not. Their appearance can be one factor, but ethnicity alone was insufficient for what's called reasonable suspicion. Under our Constitution, a police or Border Patrol or government officials have to have reasonable suspicion before they stop someone. And this has been the law for quite some time. But just this week, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld basically the same idea, where it can be one of many factors. But the difference here is location. In previous times, it's only been on the border where a person's appearance can be a factor in the stop. But now that's been extended to places far away from the border, for example, even in different states. So although the standard is basically the same, it's the location that's changed. And that's why some folks are some legal scholars are questioning this move.
So I know there are legal challenges to this policy, and it's my understanding that that's probably why the High Court is waiting for those to play out. Why did the High Court not give any indication, though, of why they issued this ruling?
because there's a long-standing doctrine at the Supreme Court level, Megan, where the Supreme Court always wants, if it's at all possible, they always want cases to move through the lower courts first before they look at it. That gives them time to look at the evidence, to have evidence gathered, to have lower courts issue rulings, and then they can decide the case based on the lower court rulings. So this court is particularly focused on that doctrine. So if at all possible, the court is going to go against issuing stays or injunctions and allow these cases to kind of percolate through the lower courts before the Supreme Court makes the definitive decision.
We have about a minute left. I know that's not much time to talk about this case, but jury selection began Monday in the trial of Ryan Ruth, or Ralph, however you pronounce it. I've heard both on network TV. He's the one that's charged in the assassination attempt on President Trump. He never fired the weapon. So what does the government have to prove in this case?
Well, the government has to prove that he had the intent to do harm. And part of that evidence is going to be the fact that he was hidden on the golf course, that he had the means, the opportunity, and the motive to try to assassinate President Trump. Now, here's the biggest problem in this case is that Mr. Ruth is representing himself. And at least so far in court proceedings, he's really tried to make it kind of a mockery. He's using it to espouse crazy conspiracy theories instead of focusing on the evidence. So when you're representing yourself, you know the old adage, you have a fool for a client. That's probably the case here. And unless he can put forward a substantive defense, the likelihood is that he will be convicted.
All right. Brad Young, KMOX legal analyst, partner at Harris, Dow, Fisher & Young. Thank you so much for your time today.
My pleasure, Megan.
We'll talk to you next week.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.